Hello, welcome to your daily briefing. October the 4th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We look around us and we see the events that are taking place, and we know that they are the fulfillment of everything that you have told us about. So today we continue our study, asking that you would continue to guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share with you an article from the BBC News. That's the BBC website. And the article was published back on the 8th of April, 2018. The article was written by Owen Amos, last name spelled A-M-O-S. He works for the BBC News in Washington, D.C. And the title of the article is Inside the White House Bible Study Group. The title again, Inside the White House Bible Study Group. Here's the article. For the first time in at least 100 years, the U.S. Cabinet has a Bible study group. What do they learn? What does Donald Trump make of it? And why aren't women allowed to teach? Every Wednesday, some of the world's most popular people meet in a conference room in Washington, D.C. to learn about God. The location can't be revealed. The Secret Service won't allow it. But the members can. Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, Energy Secretary Rick Perry, Attorney General Jeff Sessions. The list goes on. These are all there. In total, 10 cabinet members are sponsors of the group. Not everyone attends every meeting. They are busy people, but they go as often as they can. Meeting lasts between 60 and 90 minutes, and members are free to contact the teacher after hours. So who is the man leading the United States' most influential Bible study? His name is Ralph Drollinger. Let me spell that name for you. D-R-O-L-L-I-N-G-E-R. Step forward, Ralph Drollinger, a 7-foot-tall basketball pro-turned-pastor. Or, as the 63-year-old describes himself, just a jock with some bad knees. Drollinger grew up in La Mesa, a suburb of San Diego, California. As a child, he rarely went to church, probably half a dozen times, he says, and didn't get far with the Bible. I always promised myself I'd read it, he says, but every time I tried, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. In his last year of high school, after a basketball game, some cheerleaders invited him to a Bible study. He went, and his world changed. It was the first time I really heard the gospel, he said. So I went home, read through the whole gospel of Matthew that night, and asked Jesus into my heart. In 1972, Drollinger went to the University of California in Los Angeles as a basketball scholarship. He attended a Bible teaching church and, over the next 4 years, fell in love with the scriptures. After college, he could have played pro basketball, but he was picked in the NBA draft 3 times, but each time he turned it down. I sensed such a passion for ministry that everything paled in comparison, he said. Instead, he signed for a Christian team called Athletes in Action. They played basketball around the world, 35 countries, he reckons, and preached the gospel at halftime. That was kind of perfect for me, he says, because I really didn't like basketball, but I liked to preach. Drollinger didn't eventually turn pro, signing for the Dallas Mavericks in 1980, but only because he wanted to attend the seminary there. He played 6 games in the NBA and left after 1 season. After retiring from basketball, he worked in sports ministries before turning to politics in 1996. The road to the White House started with failing Christians in California. In 1996, Jolinger's wife, Danielle, was executive director of a political action committee in California. It tried, in her words, to unseat liberals from the state legislature and get Christians elected. But she was frustrated, says Dollinger. They would send guys to California's capital, and she was great at getting them elected, but they would soon lose their Christian moorings. So they took over the existing ministry in Sacramento, changed the name, and offered weekly Bible studies, support and prayer, and one-on-one ministry. It proved wildly successful, so they expanded. Capital Ministries is now in 43 U.S. state capitals, and more than 20 legislatures abroad. Each class is led by a local pastor, but none is led by a woman. Why not? There's no biblical prohibition of female leadership in commerce. There's no prohibition of female leadership in the state. And there's no prohibition for female leadership over children, says Drollinger. But there is a prohibition of female leadership in marriage and female leadership in the church. And those are clear in scripture. It doesn't mean in an egalitarian sense that a woman is of lesser importance. It's just that they have different roles, he says. In 2010, Capital Ministries arrived in Washington. There was already a ministry called the Fellowship, which runs the National Prayer Breakfast, but Drollinger felt it had lost its marbles biblically. It was, he says, candy floss Christianity, big, sweet, substantial. By contrast, he wants to offer a high protein diet of Christianity, teaching the Bible book by book, one verse at a time. In Drollinger's studies, it can take a year to finish one book. If you don't have a spiritual coach that's really driving you in the Word of God and driving you towards holiness rather than your own sinful, latent nature and your own depravity, then you're not going to grow into Christ's likeness, he says. The Fellowship, he says, believes legislators can do Bible study among themselves. I say no. Technical foul. How will they hear without a preacher? Romans 10 and verse 15, he quotes. And of course, he's here with a picture of him and the president and the vice president, etc., and a bunch of faith leaders all in the same picture together. When four of the group were elected to the Senate, they asked for a senator's class, which began in 2015. Last March, 2 months after Donald Trump took office, the same process led to a group for cabinet members. Trump started appointing to his cabinet all the guys that were in our House and Senate Bible study, says Drollinger, a trend he attributes to Vice President Mike Pence, who knew who these strong believers were. Unlike our secular media, Drollinger says, he and others saw the appointees had something in common. They were strong in Christ. That's Pence he's talking about. So he's saying that Pence is one who brought all these men together as a part of the involvement with Trump. Continuing. So Jeff Sessions, unlike our secular media, let me just read that sentence again for you. Unlike our secular media, Drollinger says, he, Pence, and others saw the appointees had something in common. They were strong in Christ. So Jeff Sessions, former health secretary, Tom Price, others, said, let's start a ministry, a cabinet Bible study ministry. Capital Ministries believes it is the first cabinet-level Bible study for at least 100 years. There was a group during George W. Bush's presidency, but it was for lower-ranking staff members. President Trump is not a member of Drollinger's group, but he is a Christian and does get Drollinger's 8-page printouts most weeks. He writes me back notes on my Bible studies, says Drollinger. He's got this leaky, sharp, felt tip pen that he writes all capital letters with. Way to go, Ralph. Really like this study. Keep it up. Stuff like that is what he writes. This is what the president writes. Drollinger's weekly Bible studies are not private or secret. Anyone can read them online. On same-sex marriage, he writes, homosexuality and same-sex ceremonies are illegitimate in God's eyes. His word is repetitive, pernicious, and stayed on the subject. On capitalism, he writes, the right to personal property, also known as free enterprise or capitalism, is the governmental economic system supported by Scripture. Scripture does not support communism. And on debt, he writes, it is bad stewardship and downright foolishness for an individual or family or country to borrow in order to cover expense that far exceeds their income. So if politicians don't learn from the Bible, should, for example, gay people be put to death? No, says Drollinger, some civil laws from the Old Testament should not apply. I think that was the ancient Israel, but it's not for the church, he says, adding he doesn't import the whole kit and caboodle of the Old Testament law, like the chummy economist Theonomist would do. Drollinger likens himself to a waiter in a restaurant. These lessons aren't his. He's merely serving the word of God, as revealed in the Bible, to self-professed Christians. If God is the chef, then I'm just the servant, and I hope the guys like the meal, he says. But on the way out of the kitchen, I'm not going to alter what is on the plate, so my job is just to be a servant. And if people don't like the message, or put it that way, if people don't like the meal, then you have to talk with God, not me. I'm not the cook. You have to go talk with the chef, God. Unless I've altered what's on the plate, which hopefully in my discipline, I will not. Drollinger believes the Bible teaches the separation of church and state. We have to differentiate, he says. And unfortunately, a lot of our evangelical religious right advocates have not made this differentiation. In January, when a New York Times opinion piece described Drollinger and others as Christian nationalists, he wrote a 1,400-word letter to complain. What was his objection? It has the idea of tyranny when you take it to its extreme, he says, and that is not what we want to do. It means that I'm meeting with the cabinet members clandestinely in order to overthrow the government in the form that we presently have, for a theocracy. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the accusation. And I have to be strong on that. But in a Bible study for cabinet members with political themes, not a merging of church and state, that is not what it is. I believe in institutional separation, but not influential separation, he says. So you get where he's going now. He's saying he's not preaching about the separation of church and state. He's saying that the two things can be. He's not preaching that separation of church and state should not exist. But he was saying, what he's saying is that the influence should be the same. In other words, people who are Christians should be in charge of the government, of the state. Continuing. No matter what the institution is, the family, commerce, education, it needs the bulwark precepts of the Word of God in order to function correctly. So let me say what he's saying again. He's not saying that you should separate, that there should be no separation between church and state in their function. All right? The state should take charge of the state and the business of the state government, and the church should take control of the business of the church, the government of the church. But what he's saying is the people who are running the state should be running the state based upon the word of God, which is an interesting way to put that. So he's actually saying is, no, I'm not trying to remove the wall that separates the church and state. I'm simply trying to get the people who are running the state to run it under the same principles as you run a church. Now, of course, that's an interesting way to get by the argument. Don't you think so? All right. So continuing the article, it says this. But the minute I start to amalgamate the church and the state institutionally, then I'm into a theocracy. But I'm not functioning. I'm not setting up a theocracy. I want the state to run as a state, but the people who are running the state, they must be running the state based upon the Bible. Continuing. Drollinger never tells his members how to vote or which policies to pursue, but he hopes it becomes obvious by teaching them the Bible. I will put the blueprint on the engineer's seat on the train, he says, and it will show you the right tracks to the station. But I'm not going to tell you what tracks to take, but you've got to be pretty stupid not to follow the blueprint because it's there. Now that's interesting. And of course, you know, that kind of attitude really gives him a powerful amount of influence in the White House, in the Oval Office, in the Capitol building, all over the place. Because he claims to be representing the Constitution and all of that. He's just saying that, the state can be independent. The state must function independently. The only thing is that the people who are running the state must make their decisions based upon the Word of God. And that's quite a thing, quite an argument. Continuing. Do his students ever disappoint him? Oh yeah, I get disappointed a lot when I see immaturity, he says. I was just talking to one member. His wife hates him. He's been overspending his capital in his marriage by working 14 hours a day on politics. That's disappointed me. Because if he is divorced, then what kind of credibility does he really have long term in the House of Representatives to make moral judgments? And what about their policies, he's asked. When a person obviously knows the biblical thing to do and votes against what he or she knows what's biblical, that is terrible, he says. One Democrat, struggling with her party's support for same-sex marriage, contacted Dullinger for advice. He explained the Bible teaching as he saw it. The next Bible study, she said, that was really good. Now she can't necessarily stand publicly on what I just taught her, but it's going on in her heart. He says he won't tell her how to vote on the issue. Voicing opposition to marriage might cost her an election. But at the same time, she's going to have to think, what's different between that and a prostitute? A prostitute sells her soul to maintain a salary. Are you, as a Christian legislator, growing in Christ, selling your conviction in order to stay making a salary or having influence? I'll never say it that graphically to a member, but you get the idea. So notice what he's doing now. He's, as he says before, he embraces the concept of the separation of church and state, but now he's convincing those who run the state to run it according to the Bible. And I say this over and over again because Drollinger has a tremendous amount of influence on both sides of the aisle. And this is one of the reasons. He's not telling them that they need to vote a particular way, but he's trying to tell them that all the decisions that they're making, and he's not even trying to make the Senate and the House of one party, of one religion, but he's telling them that all their decisions must be made based on the Word of God, which is exactly what the other side is saying. But this seems to reach out to so many other people. Let's see how much more of the article we can cover. Drollinger describes himself as a Republican conservative. I don't think there's any mystery about that. he rails against environmentalists who talk about the climate change, etc., and has supported Donald Trump since he was a long shot in the primaries. Of all the Bible studies I've written on policy, Trump's enacting everything I have written. Now, let me read that again. Of all the Bible studies I have written on policies, says Drollinger, Trump's enacting everything I've written. Drollinger doesn't necessarily think Trump is working off of my blueprint, but is coming from the same place I am in terms of biblical understating of the issues. Drollinger lives in California and flies into Washington for his classes, which usually takes place from Monday to Wednesday. Capital Ministries is a non-profit organization funded by donations. He and Danielle, his wife, are paid salaries, but say they do not take the full amount. So how does it feel on a Wednesday morning to teach the Bible to some of the world's most powerful people? One of the emotions is, who am I to be here, he says. You know, kind of like Moses. Lord, I can't even speak. I'm just a jock with some bad knees, and here I am. Only you, God, could have done this. Why me? So that goes through my mind a lot, and I think that's healthy. We're going to stop there today, but notice he lives in California, and he flies into Washington for the classes from Monday to Wednesday every week and flies back, paid a salary, and is seen as having a tremendous influence both in the White House and the Oval Office and in the Capitol. Perhaps you see the direction in which our country is heading. Theologically, of course, the influence of this man is tremendous. Men like Robert Jeffries and Jerry Falwell Jr. and Franklin Graham Jr. and other preachers, they have also a sound and progressive impact upon this administration. But one of the statements in this article that really strikes me is that sentence that I read for you just now. Of all the Bible studies I have written on policy, notice now, this is Drollinger writing studies on policy. Trump's enacting everything I've written. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you show us day by day the fulfillment of your word. We thank you that you promised to prepare us if we will only submit ourselves to you and allow ourselves to be led by you. Today we ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we might walk according to your will and do the things that are right and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, September the 4th, 2020.